Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's season 2016. This is episode 20. Tony DeBeast DeBolfo. G'day, Tony.
How are you, Tony?
I'm good. A little bit breathless. I rode the pushy in this morning. Myself, Tony Moclair. We've had the buy. How's the buy been at the DeBolfo house?
Well, I have been on a push bike, Tony, although I felt like I've probably done 12 rounds with Iron Mike. But
Do you want to expand on that? You had a run-in with the surgeon's knife.
I had a run-in with the surgeon's knife. Reliably informed that I actually had a hernia that warranted removal. To undergo the knife and be told in my stupor an hour after the event that there wasn't a tumour there in the first instance. So I'm none the wiser, but a little bit more sore.
Well, you said it was done by an old classmate of mine at a certain prestigious Jesuit school.
No names, no pectoral, Tony.
I'm certainly not going to name names, but it brings back a few memories of that bloke. And he was the shakedown expert. I think he got you good and proper, Tony.
So I've been laying low, Tony. It's probably just as well we had a bye this weekend. I've had an opportunity, like the players, to replenish, recover and push on to the next round.
Okay, that's... we're coming up against the Giants. Their form has been pretty good, although it wasn't exactly a convincing win against Essendon.
No, it was not. And I think what we learned from that particular contest was how dominant GWS can be at Spotless Stadium. Spotless Stadium, very much the GWS fortress. And I think away from home, I don't know whether you could say it was complacency. I find it hard to imagine that GWS at this stage of its infancy would be complacent about anything. But you're right, they were somewhat caught out, I guess, by Essendon, a committed Essendon that really came to play. In fairness, had GWS kicked straight early, the complexion of that game might have been a lot different. But ultimately, the team did what it had to do and ended up fairly comfortable winners. So I think... Leon Cameron would have steeled his men into action coming into the Carlton game this week, because it was probably, it was a pass, their performance. It had its moments, but there were a lot of down moments in the game. So I suspect Carlton will be confronting a fairly fired up opposition on its own dunghill this week.
You don't think they'll be complacent 2 weeks in a row?
Look, it would be lovely, wouldn't it? But it's going to be an interesting game, given that we're probably going to have a few former GWS players heading back into the den, so to speak. I guess Andrew Phillips would be knocking on the door as a possible inclusion.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got Lamb and Sumner that have also been playing pretty good football. So. A great opportunity for these players to show their mettle back where it all began.
But they're not going with any rancour, I don't think. I mean, they left the club because they were finding it hard to break into the seniors.
Well, that's true, isn't it? I think from GWS's perspective, it was sheer weight of numbers.
Yeah.
And how canny it was of Stephen Silvani to identify those players that he felt were worthy of pursuing their careers at another club. And having those aforementioned players been great for Carlton this year.
Well, if Soss wants to pick up a couple more while he's up there, please go right ahead.
Yes.
It's going to be a red letter game for the Blues. Now, we looked at how the team lifted against Geelong for Simo's landmark game. How about this? Bryce Gibbs plays his 200th game this weekend.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, it only seems like yesterday that, fresh-faced kid from Glenelg had walked into the place and, thrown Stephen Kernan's famous number 4 Guernsey. And, from day one, when you think about Bryce Gibbs and Murph and Cruiser, the level of expectation that comes with being the number one draftee. And yet, the three of them all seem to have taken the mantle in their stride and the responsibilities with it. And Bryce Gibbs, I think when you look at, the 199 games so far, what you have to say is... his has been a career mark for its durability. Mm. He hasn't missed a lot of football. He had injury interruptions last year, admittedly. But for the most part, he's been there front and centre from day one. And, it's fair to say that I suppose, like the team, Bryce's career has had its highs and lows, its peaks and troughs. But like many of the players that are playing for Carlton at the minute, he's probably in career best form.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing to think that 200 games in, the best is still yet to come for Bryce. And Danielle, the producer, has just alerted me to the fact that of that 199 games so far, he's played 177 out of a possible 182.
Wow.
Going into that, through that 199 game period. So it's a pretty remarkable performance and a testament, as I said, to the durability of the man.
Yeah. Well, being a club historian, can you give us a breakdown of that 199 games? What percentage have been played with the bun?
Too many for my liking, Tony, I'd say.
Thank you.
Way too many.
Yeah.
However, look, if the bun works, you know, I was never one to criticise the flying doormat for how he looked.
Well, that's true.
You know, he could look however he wanted to look the way he played. But Bryce, I think, has probably brought a greater... What would I say, a purpose or an increased aggression to the contest this year that we haven't probably seen in his career so far? And I would say that with a player like Gibbs, that sort of trait would go against the natural grain. You know, I think by and large, Bryce would be a likeable person, a mild-mannered fellow, decent sort of person. And yet, you know, the expectations on him now are to play with a steely edge and aggression and a harsh edge to him that probably isn't natural to him, and yet to his credit, he's really delivered that in spades. And I think what we're seeing in Bryce Gibbs of the 2016 model is a more rounded, hard edge competitor, and I think that's to Carlton's great gain that he's playing this way. But it wouldn't be easy for him either.
Well, it's still a delight, can I tell you, from the stands, to see Gibber tackle and tackle ferociously.
Yes.
That's a sign, you know, he's fully committed to the game plan, to the Brendan Bolton way of doing things.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, applying pressure. And it's what you also get from Gibber is those utterly sublime skills him number one.
Look, so very, very true. And good players make it look effortless, you know, and you see things that a player like Bryce Gibbs does. And, I mean, if you go back further, I think of Greg Williams similarly.
Yeah.
They do it, you know, just with this great instinct. And few players can replicate that. These are things that can't be coached or taught. When you spoke earlier about the sublime skills of Gibbs, I immediately thought of that moment in the game against Port Adelaide.
Yes.
That deft little kick, I think over the top to Mark Murphy, to set up that last goal to Cruiser. And that, you know, the players like that, it was glorious, wasn't
kick.
It? It was a glorious moment in the game.
Yeah.
And so that's what a player of Gibbs's worth is capable of. And I think we've been very, very fortunate to have players of the calibre of Bryce and Murphy and Cruiser. Who I would say, you know, are still yet to, you know, hit the apex of their playing careers. Yeah. They're probably getting into that realm now. The best is yet to come as far as I'm concerned, and the signs so far are very encouraging that Bryce is continuing to play in career best football.
Well, we say congratulations to Bryce Gibbs on the 200th game and on the receipt of your Bunlow Medal Award. There we go. That's the worst wordplay I've ever.
You've got a greater fixation with the bun than Bryce, Tony.
It's a unique hairstyle, what can you say? Almost outdoing Tommy Alvin, who was who was at the Hall of Fame the other day. And if you're interested, Tommy still rocks the long locks.
flicks of grey through them these days. But
doesn't seem to affect him, but they're still there and still...
what a player he was too,
Tony. Still a glorious man, he certainly was.
Yes.
Now, speaking of... I was going to try to clumsily segue from long flowing hair to the National Women's League. the National Women's team was announced last Wednesday, Tone. And Carlton was lucky enough to secure a slot and will be fielding a team next year along with Adelaide, the Bulldogs, Collingwood, Melbourne, GWS, Brisbane and Frio.
Well, it was a remarkable week for the club, a real red-letter day, you know, for Carlton. And I know it's been the upshot of a lot of work that's been done behind the scenes by a lot of people. You know, you'd have to commend the president, the CEO and the chief financial officer for the work that they've done in bringing all this together at such short notice.
Yeah.
But what a What a great moment for the game and for women in football particularly that now can see that there is a career path, you know, at the highest level for those who would like to pursue a career in the game. I spoke last week to Vivian Kerr, the number one female ticket holder, and she was interesting. She said it wasn't necessarily a long time coming, but she said it was the right time. The timing was right. Mm. I think... the mood is right, you know. The governing body of the game, the AFL, has embraced the concept of women's football, and I mean, with any of these sorts of things, you can't do it unless you have the support of City Hall.
Yeah.
So the AFL has put its considerable weight behind the concept of women's football, and are going to really, you know, promote the cause of the game in that fledgling year of 2017 and beyond. And you know, it's just a magnificent thing for Carlton also, that Carlton can be a player in this competition. The sky's the limit. We don't know where women are going to take the game, how big it can get. But there's a real excitement, I think, because what this has done has brought an added dimension to the game itself, and I think that's got to be a good thing. It's hard to think of a box not being ticked when you look at what this means.
Well, I think you can say, Tone, with a fair degree of certainty, that will be a fascinating journey to watch. Now,
very true.
Speaking of journeys,
nice.
Tone, it's what I'm paid for. The journey, which we, of course, have seen here at the Two Tones, magnificent documentary on the first couple of months of Brendan Bolton's tenure at the club and the culture shift that he's brought with him.
Yes. It's magnificent, not to be missed viewing, isn't it? You know, that we've seen it, and a lot of viewers have seen that first episode. And I might say, Tony, that when I came to Carlton back in 2007, Richard Pratt had become president, and there was a great euphoria at the time of his appointment. And at the time, the ABC had actually approached him asking if he would be prepared to be part of a five-week doco revolving around the club under his realm, those first five games of the 2007 season.
Yeah.
He agreed to it, and it was going to... Sorry, 2008 it was, and it was going to take in Judd, the whole, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. The cameraman was unfortunately unavailable. He was taken away on assignment to do some Hawaiian surfing classic, and it never materialised, which was a shame. So when you look now at what has happened under Brendan Bolton's watch, those first few weeks of his tenure as coach, it's invaluable material that only gains value with time. You know, we've seen, I think it was 50 years recently that Ron Barassi came to Carlton, and there's a few flickering black and white images that are still left to tell the story of that monumental moment in football, whereas now we've got everything basically, you know, in the can. Darcy Mueller's done a great job here, the cameraman, in I guess, chronicling all those behind-the-scenes moments that have happened since Brendan Bolton assumed control last year. And he's been, you know, working away in recent months to, you know, put together material for a much-anticipated sequel. And I haven't seen any of the footage yet, but I dare say it's going to be riveting viewing, that's for sure.
Well, if it's anything like episode one, it's just going to be, as you say, riveting viewing, Tone. The second instalment will air on Fox Footy and then be uploaded to the Carlton website. That's carltonfc.com.au. It's a great moment, my favourite moment, where Bolts leaves the players up all night, and they've got a... Basically, they're accountable for each other, and they get back in the bus, and there was one player who basically stayed up all night, and we know who that is, don't we? Can we say it together, Tone? Jakob Wiedering. And, you know, and look, there is a classic example of character being destiny. He's just, he's come to the club, he's committed, he's just an old head on young shoulders, he's exactly the sort of recruit you want. He's already showing his leadership abilities even at that stage.
Yes, yes. And to think, Tony, that film is there for time immemorial now, And what we're going to see, you know, is the journey, as it's so aptly named, of these players under Brendan Bolton's watch.
Well, Danielle has just passed me a bit of information. There's no Freudian slip in this, can I just say, Tone? The journey premieres on Tuesday night. The second instalment will air on Fox Footy and then be uploaded to the Carlton website.
Lovely.
CarltonFC.com.au.
I'll be riveted to the screen, Tone.
You will be. Part one aired in May this year. It was a huge success. So get on to Fox Footy or just wait for the Carlton website. And it really is fascinating, no holes barred access. Mm. You see some really revealing stuff.
You do.
Now, the Gala Ball on Friday night was a very big success. More than 1,000 people in attendance at Crown Palladium. Did you get along, Tony?
I didn't get along. I was still licking my wounds.
Yes.
Figuratively speaking, you
halfway through your gender reassignment, then you thought the better of it. Good on you, Tone. So it's still Tony with a Y, if you're interested. Now, the VFL, we'll just give a bit of an update on that, Tone. The Northern Blues will return to your TV screens when they host Sandringham at Icon Park this weekend.
And not before time either. I've been waiting all year for the Northern Blues to get a Guernsey on the idiot box, Tone. And
I love
finally
watching. It's great.
It is great, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Great grassroots football at its best.
Better still, what's the last VFL game you went to, Tone?
Oh, gee, I saw the Northern Blues at the old Preston City Oval last year. I haven't been this year, but I saw them going around last year, and I think they got rolled, if memory serves, in pretty wet, wintry conditions.
Yeah.
Wasn't pleasant, Tone. I probably should have stayed with my scuffs and my cravat, my smoke jacket in front of the fire. But
exactly.
However,
your wife brought you a kipper.
However, it was lovely to, you know, to be part of it again, to smell the liniment. And and I think what's terrific is that, you know, we get to see the future of Carlton on show. You know, there's a lot of young fellas going around. Of course, we know Jack Silvani's, plying his craft for the Northern Blues at the moment. And without knowing the ins and outs of, you know, the teams this week, we might have players like Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay ready to go resuming or must be close to playing again. So there's much interest, I think, to be gleaned from what happens when the Northern Blues run out the weekend.
It's great to watch it on TV. It's great to go. I remember going to one once with two of my brothers. This is about 3-4 years ago. Jared Waite was playing.
Yes.
It was down Port Melbourne, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
David Teague was coaching. And you can stand just outside the huddle at quarter time.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic to get to, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. And there's an old peppercorn tree, or there was for many years at City Oval. If memory serves, I tell you who I saw. I saw Gary Ayres' mob play the Northern Blues down there, the Port Melbourne, you know, the feeder team, and some very, very ugly men gathering under that peppercorn on that Sunday afternoon. I ventured down there. So, as I said earlier, I probably should have stayed at home, actually. But
it's a great afternoon out. It's highly affordable, and they trust you with full strength beer.
Would
have thought that?
All power to
the football. They're great. So, for the first time in 2016, a Blues game will feature live on Channel 7's VFL coverage.
Jason Bennett,
Jason. He's a great man. Campbell Brown, Nigel Carmody, and Abby Holmes will be broadcasting live from 2 p.m. on Saturday. So, after three straight wins, Northern face a big test against Sandringham, who sit third place on the VFL ladder.
Yeah, well, Josh Fraser's got them going, so let's hope the boys can maintain their form and continue to put pressure on the senior team for players coming through, because we want to see as many players as possible get an opportunity to represent this great club at senior level, Tony.
We sure do, and we look forward to the GWS Carlton game, which is on Saturday, 25th of June at Spotless Stadium at 4:35 p.m. Check local guides for the best venue to watch it at, which could indeed be your home if you've got Foxtel.
Absolutely.
We don't. So it's across to the pub for me.
You can come around to my place and I'll lay it on.
Feed up, Tone. Feed up. Make sure the beer is properly chilled. This has been The Two Tones, episode 20. Tony Moclair and Tony DeBolfo signing off and saying,
go Blues.